This year in 25, you're going to see not just numerical growth, but spiritual growth. We're going to see leaders rise up that we never imagined were going to be the anointed leaders that they really are. Get off Facebook and put your face in the book. It is time to spend massive amounts of time in the presence of God and with your family. The danger is millions of Christians are going to go back to sleep, and they can't. We cannot go back to sleep this time. We have got to stay awake. We have got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay in the fight. I'm not interested in building up the White House. I'm interested in building up God's house.
Pastor Greg Locke, it's great to have you here back on Charisma. It's been a while because we've had so many things going on, but you've been traveling a lot in and out of different countries. You moved from the tent into a permanent building. Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. So now you've got heating and air conditioning for what God wants to do there. And I guess somebody else could be blessed with that tent, or I don't know what you get. Maybe we can talk about that in a second. But we do want to talk about what God is saying to you about the year 2025 and what we can be looking forward to. Pastor, give us what it is that God is saying for this next year and how we can prepare, but what we need to do about this as well. So welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Brother John, for having me. We love Charisma, and we love the Charisma family and the whole audience. And so we appreciate everybody tuning in. You know, it's interesting that we're in a real rest space right now in our church. And I feel like that's what the Lord's doing in this season with a lot of people. You know, we've been building and battling and building and battling, and it's been a lot in the tent. And I think the thing that our people are most excited about are no porta-johns, and that we actually have bathrooms now. And so people like come and use the bathroom and they don't even have to use the bathroom. But what it showed me the last month gearing up, you know, coming out of 24 into 25, is I think God gave us a month to kind of catch our breath, because going into 25, I believe it is going to be a great building season, but I think it's going to be building more with rest, if that makes sense, more than in the battles. Man, we have been in the trenches. I mean, and not only did the church and the house get shot up, I feel like our people have been shot up. I feel like the body of Christ has been shot up. Man, we've seen so much exposure this past year. Churches have suffered, you know, financial instability, you know, economically, things have been horrid. You know, then we had that nail-biting election night, all of that. And so I feel like people are wore out. I feel like people are just utterly tired. They don't want to quit. They don't want to give up. And so I feel like for Global Vision and for the body of Christ as a whole, that we're moving into a season where our seed is crying out of the ground, right? I mean, what we've been putting in, we've been sowing, we've been giving, we've been crying and fasting and praying and just really pressing in. And I think God's saying, you know, now this year in 25, you're going to see not just numerical growth, but spiritual growth, real deepening of a maturity in the body of Christ. And so I think there's going to be a lot of building. I think it's going to be a building season, a prophetic season. I think it's going to be an apostolic season. We're going to see leaders rise up that we never imagined were going to be the anointed leaders that they really are. I think God's going to call fresh new eyes and vision into the ministry. And I think even ministries, not just churches, but ministries like Charisma, they're going to see a bump in readership. And in people, you know, stepping to the forefront, wanting to be authors, wanting to step out into their calling and the equipping and the anointing that the Lord has given us. So I think 25 is going to be a year of rest. It's not that we're not going to be fighting and battling and, you know, fighting principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But I feel like the building that we're going to be doing is really going to be the benefits and the blessing of the battles and the war that we've just come through, because it has been, it's been hard. It's been very difficult. I have seen more pastors step away from ministry, have to take, you know, sabbaticals, some just completely out of the ministry altogether. You know, marriages are hurting. You know, there's more prodigals out there than we've probably ever seen before. Church giving is down across the board. It just seems like pastors are discouraged. I get calls like every single day of people that are just absolutely defeated. And so I think the Lord's going to raise us up and put us in a season of rest and just kind of rebuild some things. And I don't think He's going to build it the way that He used to build it or the way that He used to do it. You know, I think the days of just pressing for church growth and more people in the seats, I think that's done. I think we want to get the right people in the seats. And I think God's going to rebuild, and structures are going to change, and vision is going to change. And I know that's a long way around the barn, but I just feel like people need to go in 25 into a season of knowing that God's not going to stop. He's going to accelerate His work, but I think He's going to let us get a little more sleep and a little more rest and a little more relaxation. And I tell our folks, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. You know, sometimes as a preacher, if you take a nap or if you sleep in and you feel guilty about it, then the problem is the church has become your idol. The ministry has become your idol. And I think sometimes we're going to have to be still. We're going to have to step back and just let God do what he wants to do. So we fought the battles, and here we are now on the forefront. And I think God's going to start raising some things up and saying, I'm going to let the vision come to pass, but I'm going to let you have a little bit of peace while it's transpired. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, brother. And I want to actually, I had a mental picture as you were talking about that. I want to submit this to you to see if this kind of connects with what you're feeling the Lord saying. It's kind of like whenever you are building a house and you are pouring the foundation, that concrete needs to rest. You've poured the foundation. The concrete needs to rest before you can build on it. Otherwise, you're dealing with a soupy mess and it's not going to settle right. And a foundation that is not properly cured or rested is going to get cracks. It's going to have issues. And if you try to build on it, you're going to have to go back and restore that or repair that foundation again. Yes. Is that kind of a good description of what you were talking about too?
I think so. I think we've spent a lot of time building superstructures without foundations. And like you said, I think sometimes we didn't let the foundation cure real well. Oh, we got a foundation and boom, just start building it. And God said, no, I'm going to slow things down. I'm going to tear a few things down so that we can rebuild correctly. Right? It's not that we built in sinfulness or rebellion. I think sometimes the body of Christ just builds too quick. You know, people all the time, don't get behind. You know, don't make God have to pull you along. And I'll be honest, that's never my temptation. The devil knows that I'm not somebody that's going to drag my feet. So the biggest temptation that the devil gives me is not to drag behind, but to get ahead of God. To get out front, to push me too fast. And so I think sometimes, I know in my own life and at Global Vision as a leader there, I think sometimes I've pushed maybe a little too quick. And I think in 25, God's going to pull some things back, deconstruct some things, let the foundation cure, as you said, right, and build the superstructure in a different way.
So Pastor Greg, how is it that people can actually practically rest? That is something, especially in American culture, we have such a difficult time with that. And especially, you know, we're not saved from our good works. We're saved to do good works. And sometimes people look at that and say, well, I'm not saved unless I do those good works. And we exhaust ourselves because we become very good Christian doers as opposed to Christian beings. And so human beings, you know, human doers as opposed to human beings. And give us some practicality of that. And how have you found rest in your life?
And I think we have twisted it up. And we've made Christianity about do this, when really it's about you need to be this. Because if you'll be right, you'll do right. It's just you'll know them by their fruits. It's natural. You don't have to beg an apple tree to produce apples. It just automatically does because it's what's inside of it. And the reason people have bad fruit is because they have a bad root. And so we got to get to the root of the issue. And I think the root of the issue with a lot of people is we do spiritually exhaust ourselves for no reason. And we don't do it because we're trying to please God. We're doing it because we're trying to please people, because the fear of man brings a snare. We don't want to look lazy. But I'm telling you, we've got to take vacation time. We got to take, Sabbath time, if you will. We've got to rest. There's got to be times when we just pull back and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And I think, the Christmas season, New Year's, all of that, people do that and we accentuate it. But I think it's something that we ought to do on a regular basis. Don't spend time with your kids once a year just because, Santa Claus is coming to town. No, spend time with your kids on a regular basis because they're dying for that, right? And we need to bring back family time. We need to bring back family altar time, family worship, family prayer time. I saw this video somebody sent me the other day, and it was extraordinarily convicting. They had all these parents, all these adults in these rooms around these big tables, kind of like this, and they were interviewing them, and they asked them, if you could have a meal with anybody on the planet, living or dead, who would it be? The moms and dads are like, Tom Cruise and, Justin Timberlake or whatever. They're talking about all these famous movie stars, and every one of them, hands down, without fail, they were even arguing back and forth, all of them said that these famous people that either they'd like to resurrect and have a meal with or somebody that's alive today that they'd like to talk to. And so then they took all of them out of the room and put them behind a big glass and brought all of their kids in. And they asked their kids the same question. And all their kids were like, I'd like to have a meal with my parents. I'd like to have a meal with my siblings. I just want to sit down and have dinner with my family. And I was like, holy smokes, that's a reality right there. What a gut check. What a heart check. And sometimes we just got to slow down and have a meal with our family. As a pastor, I don't keep my phone on all night long anymore. I just don't. I'm not going to, because what's going to happen is, I used to think to myself, if I don't answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, then so-and-so is going to get mad and leave the church. Well, guess what? I ended up answering my phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, didn't get any sleep. And 3 years later, they left the church over something else. What difference does it make? And so what we've done is we've made an idol out of our calling. And I think sometimes we can fall in more in love with what God's called us to do than the God that actually called us to do it. And sometimes we just have to slow down. And this past year for me has been learning that, especially in this Bible reading marathon that I've been in, just going through the Word of God. I've had to slow down and recognize the world's not going to fall apart and Global Vision's not going to implode or explode just because Greg Locke's not there. The world doesn't revolve around me. The world revolves around the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to rest. We've got to, men, you need to date your wife. I'm telling you, take your wife on a date. I don't care if you walk in a public park, feed ducks, and eat bologna. I don't care if it's a five-star restaurant. It doesn't matter. You need to date your wife. It's so valuable. It's so important. And so now I'm dating my wife every week. I'm taking my kids out. I'm going to the movies with them. We're going roller skating, whatever. And I'm not feeling guilty about it anymore. People need to relax. People need to rest. And I want to say to any pastor that's watching this, quit running your family to death and making the church the golden idol and the golden calf of your house. Your wife needs you. Your kids need you. In my case, and in some of your cases, your grandkids need you. It's time to slow down. The church is not going to explode if you're not there for one Wednesday or one Sunday. And by the way, if it does, it probably needs to. Right? Because I told our folks a while back, we have a one generational problem at our church. Meaning by that, we've created a church that has one generation in it. If I get clipped by a train on my mountain bike, you know, God forbid, you know, the church has like 6 weeks left in it. And I'm like, why are we not raising up next level leadership? That church should be able to go on without Greg Locke. If it's really a God's, you know, body, God's family, if it's really a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it shouldn't matter whether I'm there or not. I get it, you know, apostles and pastors and prophets and all of that. And I know we have to be figureheads and we're held to a higher level of accountability. But I'm at a place now where I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to back off and I'm going to let God do His work. I'm not forcing myself or the Lord's work on anybody. And so again, there's so much in me right now coming out of 24 into 25. I just want people to know this is a season of rest, not a season of stopping, a season of being still. You can be still without being stopped. You can keep doing what you know the Holy Spirit wants you to do, but you don't have to run yourself to death. You've got one body, you've got one life, you've got one mind. It's time to get in the gym, not just because it's a New Year's resolution. I'm so tired of New Year's resolution. We need some New Year's repentance is what we need. We need to take care of our bodies. We need to eat right. We need to sleep well. We need to love our families. We need to get our nose out of the newspaper, stick it in the Word of God. I tell people, get off Facebook and put your face in the book. It is time to spend massive amounts of time in the presence of God and with your family. And when you do that, God's going to take care of His ministry. Because it's His work, it's His church, it's His body. And so all of that to say, sometimes we just need to stand back and let God do His work and quit pretending like we got to be the hero of the hour.
Amen. Amen. We don't need to be the hero of the hour. We just got to let God do His thing and trust in Him. I mean, what the Word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. But trusting in the Lord and leaning not in your own understanding. If you lean on your own understanding, that you're going to fall on that. It's like you're leaning on a cane, and that's not a very good foundation there. You know, Pastor Greg, what is it that you feel the Lord is saying to your church? What are you going to be preaching, you know, at the turn of this year? Like, what is the word that God's given you? Obviously, rest is a big part of that. But where in the Bible are you going to be preaching from about this message?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The other night in our Christmas Eve service, I almost preached the message that I'm going to actually be preaching this weekend. The Holy Spirit said, nope, I want you to say a few other things and, you know, talk about some things. And then this weekend, I'm going to be preaching on, you know, how to have the greatest year ever, how to absolutely have the greatest year you've ever had. And I have these 10 principles. They all begin with F. But a lot of them have to do with, you know, at least for the context of our church. I told our people, there's some things that we've had to leave in the gravel parking lot at Old Lebanon Dirt Road. There's some stuff when the tent came down, it had to go with it. There's some stuff that can't transition, right? There's some people that didn't make the transition. They didn't make the leap. Doesn't make them bad people. That's fine. Good people leave good churches. I tell them, if you're a good person that leaves a good church, just stay good, right? Just stay good. And so, you know, not everybody made the leap, and that's fine. I didn't need everybody to make the leap. There was a time I thought, oh, you know, we got to have this packed house and you got to have, like, you know, deliverance services all the time. And you got to have thousands of people showing up. And the Lord said, you know what? I didn't need that with Gideon, and I don't need that with you. I'm going to pull some things back. I'm going to scale some things back, and I'm going to sharpen your vision. I'm going to give you a laser focus on what I've called you to do. And so this weekend, I'm going to preach on the 10 ways you can have the best year that you've ever had. And for example, very practical things, like point number one is forgive the people that will never ask you to, right? We're good at forgiving people sometimes. I say good. We should be good at forgiving people that ask us. But sometimes you're going to have to forgive people that will never ask you, right? People that did blow your face off, people that hurt you, people that harmed you, people that caused great deals of trauma and drama in your life. And there's just some very practical things that we're going to have to do. There's some stuff we got to leave behind. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. The body of Christ is horrible about carrying baggage with us everywhere that we go. And we pull it out and we show it off. It's like show and tell. Oh, look what so-and-so did. Look what so-and-so said. And God says, would you get rid of that mess? Would you bury that thing? Would you not take that on the 12-mile journey from Mount Juliet to Lebanon, Tennessee? And so I told our folks, look, there's some things we just cannot bring here. Now, from a very practical standpoint, this past weekend, and I don't know if you or others have seen it, you know, people watching our live stream now, and it looks so good in the building. But this past weekend, I was letting our folks know one of the major goals I have this year, it's very audacious goal. It's a huge supernatural, you know, feat of amazement if it happens. And I believe it's going to. We want to take 500 people from our church this year. And I want to put 500 people on the mission field this year in 25. Now, I'm talking about short-term mission. Now, some of them will end up going maybe for the rest of their life. But I want to get 500 people in third world countries preaching and teaching and working with people. Because if we're a church that's called Global Vision, right, we have a local vision, but we better really have a global vision. And it's one thing for the pastor to jet set all over the world and preach. I want to get our people on the mission field, and not just Israel. Everybody knows my heart for Israel and our political work there and our, you know, spiritual work there. But I want to get people on the mission field. And so one of the goals we have this year is to get 500 people out of their comfort zone in our congregation and plant their feet on a mission field somewhere around the world. And I believe that will radically change them, which in turn will radically change our church.
I love that vision. I wholeheartedly stand with you for that, because I was a missionary for 8 years myself.
Yeah.
A lot of short-term trips and training up people to take them with me. Those 8 years in Youth of the Mission were foundational for my life. And so I know what a short-term mission trip can do for somebody.
Yes.
Where you're getting out of your comfort zone, you're doing something that you might never thought that you would do it, and you're making an impact in somebody's life around the world for the gospel. And in turn, you get affected as well.
Yeah.
And I know that that's going to cause great fruit at Global Vision. And I would encourage everybody that's watching, if you have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, either just do it or make an opportunity to go do that. Your life will be changed for sure.
Yes.
You know, Pastor Greg, I want to ask you this question. This is, you became more prominent several years ago because of your political stance. And obviously you were very pro-Trump at that point. And then God convicted you of basically making politics an idol. You got things lined up. And, you know, then deliverance became something you were known for. Now you're seeing great revival. But politically, we've now seen that shift that you were crying for years ago. And we've seen this now. Tell me about your impressions with the political scene in our country now, as opposed to when it was an idol for you. And obviously, you're happy with what has turned out. Just tell me, give me an update on Greg Locke from 2020 to 2024.
You know, it has been an interesting transition, you know, and I was very forceful politically, and I still am. I mean, you know, I'm very, you know, controversial, you know, when it comes to courage and Trump and all of that. But I am excited for the direction I see us going. I wasn't there for a long time. Maybe that's why I was so strenuous in the way that I dealt with things, because I saw this demise coming, and I thought, we have got to wake people up, right? And so I do believe that we're going into what I call a space of grace. race. I think economically things are going to be better. I think Americans are going to have more money in their pocket. I think, you know, things are going to look better on the religious scene, on the spiritual scene, because obviously the Biden administration and the Trump administration have two very different ideas administratively when it comes to the local church, you know, when it comes to, you know, 501c3s and things like that. And so I'm excited for what can be. I'm excited for our new partnership with Israel. I think Mike Huckabee was the greatest pick that could have possibly been imagined for ambassador to Israel. And so there's a lot of things that I'm very excited about. The one thing I'm not excited about, the one thing that I think is a great danger, is now that we, if I can say it like this, now that we got our way, the danger is millions of Christians are going to go back to sleep, and they can't. We cannot go back to sleep this time. We have got to stay awake. We have got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay in the fight. Just because we got the guy in the White House that we're happy about, that we think is the right guy, we got to keep building, right? Just because we got our way, it's not about the White House. It's about God's house. Okay, we've got to build. We got to build. Just like in Ezra's day, you know, the people were all excited politically, but God said, yeah, but my house is lying in ruins. My house is lying in waste. And so it's not that we have to make politics the main thing. Okay, soul winning, reaching people, loving souls with the gospel, the kingdom, that's the main thing. But politics is a big part of it. I mean, let's be honest. It's a grave part of it. And it's been a huge, huge condition as of late, whereas now we see God has done a beautiful thing. He's done a supernatural miracle. And the worst thing we could do is go back to sleep and just kind of just, well, you know, just let happen what's going to happen. No. I think we need to jump into the forefront like never before, because if we want 4 good years, who's to say we can't have 8 good years, 12 good years? I mean, I really believe that God showed us his mercy in a marvelous way. So here's what I told our church. Here's what I've been telling churches all over the world since the election. If we go back to sleep this time, if we drop the ball this time, if we don't unify as a body, if we keep fussing about stupid stuff in the body of Christ and we drop the ball again, we're done. We don't get another round. This is it. This is the back burner. This is plan B. This is the final occasion and the final opportunity we have to show the world what the kingdom of God really looks like. And so I'm going to be loud and forceful and moving forward, but I think in a different way. Because I'm not interested in building up the White House. I'm interested in building up God's house. Because if we do not clean up the corruption in the house of God, it doesn't matter who we vote in. Democrat, Republican, Independent, it makes absolutely no difference. And so there has been a shift in me, and I am much more spiritually, I guess, oriented, understanding that, you know, it's really not about the guy that's sitting at the Oval Desk. It's really about the people that are behind God's desk, the sacred desk, the pulpit. And so pastors, men and women of God, we've got to stand up. We've got to push back. We've got to preach. But we cannot let our people go back to sleep again. We can't. We cannot let our people think, well, we got our way, and so let's just sit back and do nothing for the next 4 years. No, I think we got to stand up and do more in the next 4 years than we've ever done before. Because now that I have grandkids, I want to leave my grandson something to stand up for, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not about the next 4 years. For me, it's about the next 24 years. It's about the next 40 years. So body of Christ, do not get lazy on God. Don't get lazy on the kingdom. Just because you got Trump in the office, Trump's not the savior. Jesus is the Savior. And when God raised up Cyrus, okay, the people of God had to get busy. The people of God still had to do something. So we're in full-blown building mode. And so let's just stay busy and stay vigilant for the cause of Christ.
Amen. Amen. So I guess you could say that you're, if you can kind of summarize your word for this year, is rest, but don't sleep.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You need to rest, but don't you get too sleepy. You know, rest well and then coffee up. Right? It's time to fight. We still got to fight. We still got to stay in the battle, but we need to rest. We need to fight about the right things. I've learned through the years, especially politically, I don't have to show up to every fight I'm invited to. I'm going to fight the right things in the right ways. Because if you lose your focus in the fight, you'll fight the wrong people. And you'll fight the wrong battles. And I don't want to fight the wrong people or the wrong battles. I want to fight demons, right? I'm going to fight wickedness and ungodliness and leftism and wokeism. I want to fight the right things. And when you fight the right battles in the right way, when you win the victory, it means a whole lot more to you.
Amen and amen. Pastor Greg Locke, thank you so much for sharing what God has been doing and what he is speaking about this next season as we're going into that. Thank you so much for sharing that today.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.